jobless.
Let's get it. You don't know about this. Yeah. You're not lunting, you get me? Smoke boy.
Yo.
Jobless. Yeah. Yeah. Oi.
Classic.
Oi. Yeah. Yeah. Oi. Oi. Let's get
look,
it.
You don't know about this. Yeah. Guys, like you're me. Come on, man.
Really funny.
Smoke boy.
Okay.
What happened then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, I forgot
yeah, the you're not lunch, you get me?
No one the video now. Let's record. One, one.
Yeah, support, man. I'm on your new.
I need to quality.
Oh, I'm on your
okay.
Yes.
Tell him what it is.
Dice like Makumba.
You know, see, a lot of people don't even know that I use the dice. You like Makumba. Shout out to everybody that's been listening. Shout out to our day one listeners. Let me quickly make a quick apology. Yeah, we missed some episode of JOI, but it's due to so many things. We're trying to make sure we structure things right. We have to change to you and all that. So, apologies for that. Thank you. We are back bigger and better. And don't worry, we're not going away anymore. We don't come back now. Today, I believe this should be episode 68. I want to believe.
Okay.
I want to believe this should be 68. I'm not sure. I'll check.
Shout out to everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't say shout out to the generation people, especially my own generation. Millennials now.
Shout out to the millennials.
Shout out to the Gen Z.
Shout out to the baby boomers.
Shout out to the baby boomers.
Yeah. Shout out everybody.
Shout out everybody.
Yeah. Shout out if you're in Lagos. If you are a listener in Lagos, shout out to you. We noted that at cost. Shout out if you're in London. Mm-hmm. Our London listeners, shout out to you. Shout out even if you're in New York.
All over the United States.
All over Eastern Texas. You know we love you.
That's another expensive one. Shout out everybody.
You know we love you. All right. So the episode is back. The podcast is back. Big and better. So let's have some feel of, you know, some nice jam.
I'm thinking of something now. What I'm thinking about is I'm remembering the story behind when we shoot this joy in this video.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to DJT. Oh, Derek Kino. Shout out, Baba. I know, say you get different stories.
No, but it was Larry that shot this one. Larry Tyson.
Oh, what? Which one are we playing right now?
We are playing the original.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Remember Larry Tyson?
Yeah, Larry Tyson.
Shout out to Larry Tyson. Larry was the one that shot this one.
Yes.
Shout out to Yemi
K. This one we shot in
Vintage Suit.
We shot the original one. We shot the very first one in the Ikorodu. Remember? That one that we didn't use before Larry Tyson shot this video.
Yeah, there was one we did in Ikorodu.
This song, they're like
three or four videos.
Man, it's been a long time.
But I mean, it's a journey. Sometimes, even me, if I think about so many things we happen during that time,
it was
like, we should like, even if not talk about videos, even audio.
Yeah.
You know how many
recordings? I know.
Shout out to Lord of a Jazz on this one.
I remember how you used to record. If you record the song and you play, and maybe I have an idea or. I think Abbas have an idea is to go re-record like
again.
Abbas say we want to go
change them again.
Man, the work ethic that time was really 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 good. Well, it was fun because we were enjoying it. You guys are enjoying it.
It didn't feel like work.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, of course.
It didn't feel like work because we enjoyed the whole process. Nice pillow. Hey,
Lord Dashi.
Shout out to Lord Dashi.
In case you're the millennials, no, Gen Z's, you're wondering who Lord Dashi is. That's Lord of a Jazz. If you don't know, Google it.
Would you say Lord of Ajasa is actually the number one pioneer and king when it comes to Yoruba rap in Nigeria?
I won't say Yoruba, I would say indigenous rap.
Indigenous
rap, number one. Yes, of course.
Mm.
Yes, in Nigeria, yes. Yes. Because I remember the first time I listened to I don't know if it's the first
one
ever.
Is it the first one that did it, or it was the first one that blew from doing it? Because I know there's one AY.
No, AY is anyway. In London, and we don't see.
Yoruba did not correct. It wasn't given.
Okay, from my own from my perspective, yeah, I remember the first time I listened to Lord of Adjazzas, this song, My Law, Origbo,
yeah,
bro,
classic.
The first time I listened to that, classic. I've never heard anybody.
You know,
doing
I was looking
Yoruba
for
rap.
I was looking for that song
at that time
on YouTube.
I've never.
I can't find it.
I've never.
My Law song.
And now, if we're talking about the one that actually blew, that's what we're talking about, Otia.
Otia,
you know?
Yeah.
But anybody who know a lot of Adjassa, Otia, I don't know. They argued and start from Otia. My Law, Rigo is from like 3 years before Otia. My Law should be around 2000. Yeah, that's the first one. It's when we started.
Did I ever tell you my story of how I met Lord of Adjassa?
No, I didn't. But you know, I came in from the era of when I think it was after you guys recorded that song. That was the time I met you and I met him. So I didn't know the story.
It was I believe it was doing the Otia was out then.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to get a contact through him. I couldn't get in touch. So one evening, Bombastic was having a show mm-hmm. on Star FM.
Shout out to Jim Bombastic.
Shout out to Bomb on Star FM. So he played a lot of Adjassa. So he said some few things about him. I was like, mm-hmm. Definitely, this guy Sabi.
Mm-hmm.
I just called Star FM. Doc say, Alaji Lukman Lonsoro.
For real?
Yeah, that's what I did. I said, Alaji Lukman Lonsoro, I'm a bad DJ Bombastic Soro. They said, okay, I should hold on. They gave me the phone. I said, Omoye, Omo to play Tonsen. Lord of Adjassa. Number in Mongwa. I'm going to go for you. Yeah, okay, sir. My text number. She number in Lele. Yeah, number me. My text number. Is
so you use 419 for
419 Molo. Oh, they send street.
You got to ask me. Where you call Lord of Adjassa?
So, I go back to myself. Bros, good evening. My name is Jabless.
Funny, you know. Funny, that idea they always work. Man, if you're not Yoruba, you don't understand exactly what it is. And the way we're
That was how I got to do that, bro. Man, that's a God wonderful scene. As at the point I was living in
that this is me. When I first time living in
that yeah, when he was living in that yeah, the point there, I was spending time. That was, it was his house I met nice.
Oh.
It was nice too, they always come there, come record. So me, I was there to record it too. That was, it was from him I met Nice, Mattel, all those guys. Then, when he now did my song like this, Kabasa now edit. Kabasa was now like, come bring it. Well, so it was true, I just put this down. Shout out to Lord of Adjassa. Shout out to
Okay, so basically, it's like we're saying Lord of Adjassa is number one.
Yeah,
and he's not rapper.
Yep,
it's the same as saying Lord of Adjassa is codetting himself. Because with what you just told me, that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, but at that point, he and Kabasa were already running coded tunes.
Yeah.
Only that they don't is wasn't like official, yeah, yeah. But they're always together. That was the reason why Kabasa could actually hear that song from him, because he played it to Kabasa. He was like, there's one song he did with one boy. His name is Dabless. Kabasa now here. Kabasa was like, omo, it's Lele Ibam Lomua. That was the wish he gave me lossy. Although Kabasa, and Kabasa didn't collect a dime.
I didn't know this story, even though I've known you guys for a long time. I didn't even know this particular story.
Yep.
But shout out. When I say Lord of Adjassa is pivotal to codetunes, what I mean is, I'm talking about the codetunes that we know now. The people that we know from codetunes that have had hit song, evergreen song.
Yep.
Everybody kind of came through Lord of Adjassa, because I heard a story too that he... Lord of Adjassa, I think I heard a story that Lord of Adjassa was the one who produced Olamide's first song. His initial song, yeah.
It should be.
Before he became Olamide itself. Yeah, so now we're talking about...
G-Dog.
Yeah. We're talking about... So,
shout out to G-Dog.
Shout out to Badu. Leave G-Dog.
Shout out to G-Dog.
Now, Badu, yeah.
The last time I see him,
they call him G-Dog.
G-Dog Alpha.
He's going to look like
the bros. I'm a man. Lots of stories. Lots of stories. Remix you seek it. Okay. Yeah, shout out to Sass. This is when it's here.
This is the video that I was talking about. Shout out to the team, man. Why they always come through? If you can speak songs now. songs where nobody's ready to touch. As you know, during this era, people don't really want to touch street music. They feel like, man, it's Raz, it's this, it's that. I'm about to touch out. I'm about to say,
aeroplane in the car was
what do you have? Come on,
they got a box. When it comes to different styles, I'm the bus.
Let me tell my own story about Ahmed Yeti. Ahmed Yeti around before I started coming to Kabasa, Kabasa's place, around 2003. Yeah. 2002. Yeah. During the era of where about Day Hot. Now I met him because, you know, they do music with some of my guys. You can't get one auntie.
What's the your group name?
Yeah, Pretty Thugs and Nights.
Pretty Thugs and Nights.
You can't get one big auntie. We tell us, say, man, I'm gonna take you to someone. He's gonna help you guys in this music thing. So he took us to the JT. I met him. It was nice. Was everything. But later, when I now meet him again, during the era of you and Nice and a lot of Adjust and everybody, I can't remind them. Say, Baba, you know, remember? I say, hey, I didn't look your face. Mm. Look your face. So I've met him way before then.
He didn't ask you that. Where's that auntie?
Man, I don't want to go into the story of that auntie now. I'm just telling you how I first met DJT.
Shout out to DJT.
Oh,
Colombo.
Oh, Derek in one.
Yeah. Oh, Derek in one.
Bad. I'm talking about people who came for the video, so they were saying their experiences, what happened that day. So there's a lot of stories that you don't even know. Bro, I'm talking about backstories of
there's
this.
A lot of people that later became famous
and they were in the video. Yes.
And nobody knows them at that point.
Yeah.
I was not the one that invited them. I don't even know them. It was later that I was like, Baba, nah, Baba, now me be that. I was like, for real?
Yeah. Now those kind of people that they talk about, say, they Rocket Man comment session, where they write their story. You know, somebody go write story, say, I was in this video, it was shot, I can't really say, okay. If I don't read them, yeah, I did it. I know, waiting this person to talk.
True.
I can't go look their hand. This one said you did music. Yeah. Where you did for the video? Yeah. You know, there's a lot of
plenty like that.
Yeah.
I saw Shogo. Shout out to Shogo Logo.
I saw Shogo
and Lake Twice. I saw them from one background, from one corner. I see this video.
Even Latwise even comment say in getting your own story. Say you remember that day. I can't remember. So this guy did this video, man.
Yeah,
man. That, like they always say, when you're doing music or you're doing something that you don't know who you're inspiring, you don't know how far it can go, you're just doing it because you love it, but you never know.
Yeah, shout out. That was when First Stack was out, though. Yes, shout out to First Stack Town, First Stack 77. Shout out to Amuwa Duffin Estate.
Shout out to
what's this big producer that. Indomix.
Shout out to Indomix. Shout out to Indomix.
Yeah. Thank you for the love and support during those times.
Blank deaf man preaching. I like to see Shoki do a catwalk. Or a Yahoo boy asking what the scabs. No high business class. The lecturers don't
know.
Big boy.
Okay. Let me start the podcast officially. Okay. Hi everyone, welcome to Jabless Original Intelligence, the podcast, and this is episode 67, I believe, or 68, whichever one, just thinking like that. Today we're going to be discussing a lot, and I have my co-host with me today, celebrity CEO, that is like Makumba Agbain Tatina.
Hello everybody, my name is Ibro, celebrity CEO. Okay, I'm trying to introduce myself properly now. I'm a co-host. Mm-hmm. On this show for now, you know. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, let's just hope I'll get better at doing it and I'll continue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a fan of podcasts and I'm a fan of this podcast, even though this guy and I'm a guy normally, but at the same time, I've always loved what he does on this podcast, and I've always thought about being a guest on it now. So
today you go serve as guest,
yeah, guest,
and you go serve as co-host,
yes, that kind of thing. Go make sense, go make sense. You doing that,
right? I actually want to dive straight into it because there's a lot of blowback regarding this topic with Wizkid and Jazzy. Mm-hmm. And David, and even me, I got a lot of backlash.
What happened?
So I'll start from my story. Tunde Ednot posted a video of VDM,
mm-hmm.
Very Dark Man,
mm-hmm.
and I was not 100% comfortable with what PDM's video said in the video. Okay. He actually talked about, it was a long story. Nobody can, I can actually play the video for you. He said nobody can get to, he mentioned a couple of guys, mm-hmm. right? And he was like, all these people where they do music now, mm-hmm. say none of them can get to the level of Jazzy.
Oh, he's talking about Don Jazzy.
He was talking about Jazzy that Whiskey disrespected.
Don Jazzy, that the Jazzy. People that are doing music now can't get to the level of Don Jazzy.
So it was like these, all these people doing music now, none of them can get to the level of Jazzy, Jazzy this, Jazzy that.
Yeah, because Jazzy is all he knows. You know, maybe he started listening to Nigerian music, Nigerian what we call Afrobeats right now from mm-hmm. the Jazzy era, maybe from 2004.
Exactly. And I mean, there's nothing wrong in what he said, right? But I just think he doesn't know a lot about that industry for him. I need to look for that video for him to say everything he said. And here's the point. Mm-hmm. He was like, none of them can ever reach the level of Jazzy because back in the days, mm-hmm. Everybody looked at Jazzy as God.
No.
The first time we actually heard Jazzy sing was on "Hello, my baby, oh, and I call you my honey." Mm-hmm. Say normally nobody did because normally Jazzy is always at the back holding the stick, and I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. It makes sense. But bro, then is what got me. He said something like, it was like, do you know how many people Jazzy has helped? Do you many people Jazzy discovered? He now mentioned T.Y., he mentioned Rema, he mentioned Wande, and I'm like, listen, bro, I'm not discrediting anything Jazzy did, mm-hmm. right? But I don't think you know enough to mention these names because you don't know their story, you don't know their struggle. That's what I said, though.
Bro, you commented that on
Tunez's post that you don't. If you know the inside story of so many things, you'll come out and say
you're ignorant.
And they came at me.
All the Jazzy boys. Man.
They came at me. So the next day, I actually came online like the next day to do a video, and I had to I just needed to address my own fans mm-hmm. and make them understand, because a lot of them were DM, they were sending DM, they were like, Baba, if you have problem with Jazzy, it's better you make it known instead of making him feel, instead of hiding under, plenty nonsense, yeah? I was like, nope, I have no problem with Jazzy. The only thing is, I was just not comfortable with what VDM said.
Yeah, because what VDM said, in your opinion, is false. It's not 100%. So you have
actually
right to
want to clear some friend regarding my comment yesterday onto the Ednot's post.
Wait, I actually saw this video, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, that was
wild. First of all, let me make one thing clear to you guys. I don't have any problem with Jazzy. I love Jazzy. I'm a Jazzy fan. I've always been
why would get
in with Jazzy anytime. Mm-hmm. I love Jazzy. I have no problem.
The narrative online, don't forget.
I also
now
do not have any problem with VDM. As a matter of fact, I believe VDM is one of the few guys out there that makes
someone to, especially all these Gen Zs. See, do you know how many times I've seen a story, I've read something, and I know the narrative is false, or maybe the person is saying what the person that I is saying is wrong.
Yep.
I would have typed my message like this. I'll just delete it.
But let's get factual now, right? If we want to look at it on a scale of being an artist, mm-hmm. who is bigger, Jazzy or Wizkid?
No. Is Don Jazzy really an artist? Don Jazzy is a producer, actually. That's what he's known. Mm. He's really known for.
Yeah, but Wizkid called him an influencer. That is what started this while I
knew. Okay, yeah. Do you want us to dive into that straight up?
Is that disrespectful?
Well, if you look at it from the context of what is happening, what Don Jazzy is doing in the last 2-3 years, yeah, come on, it's not disrespectful. But coming from a Wizkid,
it is
disrespectful.
Mm. But I just asked the question, who is bigger?
No. Being disrespectful has nothing to do with who is bigger.
Okay.
We're talking about a statement here. Coming from a Wizkid. The reason why I say coming from a Wizkid, this is Wizkid. This is someone who came from after the Don Jazzy era, after Don Jazzy after they started. You know what I'm saying?
He actually has a video. He has a video online that he's saying they actually accommodated him.
Yes, for a while.
Technically, he's disrespectful.
And from that,
he should not address Jazzy like that. Right?
Yes.
I get it. And I support that too.
If it was somebody else, for example, let me look. Who can I? Let's say you, for example, you have nothing to do with Don Jazzy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you had come out and to say that, it's not disrespectful.
If I call him an influencer,
yes, it's not disrespectful. Come on, you've been in the game before.
But the funny thing is, they had Pulse Award. You know Pulse TV now.
Yeah, after all of this,
and he won. No, before.
Yeah.
And he won Influencer of the Year.
He accepted
the award.
Yes.
But I think the problem is from the concept of who Wizkid is, and the way he called him that influencer was disrespectful, because he just said I can't trade words or something like that with somebody who is signed by an influencer.
Yes.
Which is
no. Hold on. The only, like I said,
you know, the problem was between Ladipo and Wiz.
Yeah,
that was where he does
that response. Wizkid gave Ladipo is exactly a response a rapper would give another rapper. If Wizkid was a rapper, we would not be having this conversation. We would say it's a bar. Is you try to come at him, try to come at you back. Period. Nobody is going to talk about it. See, I look at that response from the angle of hip hop. That's where I look at it from, artist to artist.
But
the only reason why I'm saying disrespectful to Jazz is because Wizkid came. He was inspired by all of these guys. Came from after their era.
So as a Yoruba boy. But really, if you look at it deeper,
mm-hmm.
What happened to Wizkid that last week?
Okay, well, everybody's going through stuff.
He was just going everybody's on going, and
everybody's
on.
Everybody's going
and
through
later,
stuff.
I don't even know how David got into the mix, because it was initially between him and Jazzy, then David came in and he started posting David's video. Did you see that video?
Before he posted it, he commented on the video and tell somebody to send him that video. First of all, I didn't even believe that video was real. I thought it was AI doctor.
I thought it was doctor.
But now with all this response, it means that's a real video. That's a real video.
What's that?
Man. When I first saw this,
do you know who posted that video?
Initially, I don't know who posted it. I didn't even pay attention. I didn't even pay attention because I thought it was AI doctored. That's what I thought. Even from Wizkid retweeting someone and say send me this video. I thought he was still looking at it as like it's not real. But when I started seeing the video response,
there was this girl. I don't know what her name is. I should know she's an Akata, American name. That posted a picture with David, mm-hmm. and people went at her like, don't you know David is married and mm-hmm. all that.
Yeah.
So she actually took it down.
Mm-hmm.
After she took it down, people were still going at her,
so she now posted
that video. She was now like, is this the nigga you guys had?
Yeah, that's that video is a nightmare, man.
You need to get into David's mind to actually understand, because he looks like he was in distress.
Man, you know the funny thing? I've never watched that video and listened to what he was saying.
He wasn't saying anything. He was just saying, please, like something held him, more like he's in ransom.
Something like that.
Because he was just saying, please. And I was really worried when I saw it. I was like, what could be happening here? Because this is not just a normal video.
Yeah, that's the reason.
But now, where it now gets dicey is, how did that video get to that girl?
No, because
it was the girl that actually posted it.
If the girl posted the video, that means the girl recorded the video.
Not necessarily.
You don't think the girl recorded the video?
Not necessarily.
Okay, now.
But somehow the video got to the girl.
Well, there's a lot of shit.
And Wiz now posted a video and now said, beg me like this.
You know, there's a lot of shit going on.
Wiz is an idiot.
See, you know what? See, like they always say, once a rapper is always a rapper, man. See, everything Wizkid does, especially when it comes to his ranting, even though I'm not going to make an excuse for him, I know everybody's going through stuff. So, all his clapbacks, all the way he replies people, I think he always get into his old, you know, he used to rap, man. Yeah, he used to get into his old.
His thug life.
Thug life, man. I say, man. Yo, man, that's the reason why I would say most of all these rants recently. Yeah, I can say maybe he's going through stuff, but at the same time, his response to Ladipo is coming from a rapper to a rapper. That's how I say it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because if for example, if that response was given to another rapper, let's say an Ice Prince, for example, give
Wasn't Ladipo that said like rap is dead, something like that?
No. It was Wizkid that started hip hop is hip hop is dead.
That was why Ladipo now responded.
Yeah, even though that statement too, Don Jazzy has made the same statement too before.
Yes, I remember.
People shouldn't get. Come on, everybody get online and say stuff. Yeah,
but if we decide to look at it from that angle, do you think rap? I'm not saying hip hop is dead. But I want to say, rap music in Nigeria, in particular, when it comes to this new generation of music, do you think is actually dead?
No, rap.
How many rappers are actually making
is
giving
what
us the numbers?
Inspires. Hip hop is the backbone of the Afrobeat that we have right now. See, there's a tweet that MI put up. And that gets me, that resonated with me. He talked about, like, for hip hop to just be in this conversation, it means it was hip hop is the reason why all of us are here. Because look at it from the era of even the backstory to what we now call Afrobeats now. Look at it. There has always been Junior and Pretty. There has always been, you know, there's always been someone who does something.
Shout out to Junior and Pretty.
Who does rap at the time, even far back as in the 90s,
yeah, Alexo,
to, not just Alexo, SSP.
SSP
is,
yeah.
You know, Sashina Bita, that's rap, man. It's hip hop, it's rapping. That's exactly
what
it is.
But what I'm saying is, you know, in the early 2000s, going to the mid towards the ending, there are times that you still listen to a rap song that is by a Nigerian artist.
Yes.
Right? Days of Mode 9, you know, Days of MI, Days of Ice Prince, you know, Reminis. Who is in that spot now?
Right now. Yeah.
That's exactly my, that's why I said, if you look at it truly, is it dead?
No.
Because I apart from, I think, Dan Dizzy, I don't know, you know him?
I know Dan Dizzy. I think
Dan Dizzy freestyle very well.
He's making his...
I think Odumodu Black
But
even Odumodu Black is not like... We cannot compare it with the kind of rap we used to hear those days.
That
scale of Ice Prince, that scale of... is way different. But I'm talking about... Apart from Ladipo. Ladipo, true, also is in that class.
He's true to the game.
Yeah.
Who else? Now, this is... My opinion is this, you know, most of these rappers tend to sing more now because they understand the commercial value of making singing, that you can actually make more money than just rapping, you know.
That's what killed it. So you agree that it's dead?
No, it's not. I'm not saying it's dead. It's not dead. See, let me tell you something. Words are powerful. From the era, from the days of people like Rugged Man, where he said, I can rap and I also make dance tracks
to get
in the clubs, you know what I'm saying? So people go by these templates. So hip hop is not there. Hip hop is still the backbone of the Afrobeat that we have right now, and we continue to be the backbone of the Afrobeat music that we continue to have. It is what it is. We don't just have new players holding it down right now. That's what we don't have. But
there's a lot of rappers out there.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We're talking about
getting
even mainstream.
That brings us to that point. I want to have a segment in this podcast now that we actually showcase new up and coming music. We listen to it. If you're an up and coming artist out there and you don't mind having an honest opinion
about your song,
there's going to be an email address on the screen. Email your song, we can sample it on the show, and you get reviews from people, and not just us, from other listeners too. Particularly, I want rappers this week.
Yes,
want rappers this week. If you know you're a rapper, you're hot out there and you're still underground, send your song. Let's showcase it on the show. Let people listen to it. I believe rap is not dead. I believe there's a whole lot of talented rappers out there.
There are a whole lot of ingenious rappers out there. There's a lot. There's like I was listening. Most of all these new guys, Jerry the Hustler. There's a lot of them. Jerry Cole. You know, there's some guys. Yeah, some the rappers.
I know they told me about. There was a time they gisted me about Psycho YP.
I've not
really listened to him, but I think the name rings a bell. Like when it comes to
I'm more tuned to the indigenous rappers more. Maybe because of the era, or that's the forte. That's
which indigenous rapper is out there?
I'm not tuned to that. I can't find any currently.
But this guy is good though.
Who?
This Yoruba boy, Kebex.
Quebec. Quebec. Yeah. But Quebec is they need to take spectrum. It to
What happened to Chinkoyekun?
Chinkoyekun
is indigenous too.
It's about material. They need to continuously keep putting out materials.
But these guys have been out for a while.
Yeah. They need to continue to put out materials. Because let me tell you something. Why? How did we get to this point whereby Afrobeat singing takes over the whole space? It's because of how many materials they're dropping. Like, you look at every Friday, there's something that they do online, New Music Friday. It's on Apple Music, the playlist on there. You look at music that comes out the whole week. You hardly find
singers.
Come on, man. They need to continue putting out songs. I remember the era of, I'll say, the era, the 2013, 2012 era, during the time Remini's and Olamide were dropping rap songs back to back, they need to continue doing that, I guess. That's what is missing right now, you know.
Mm.
People are not rapping, they're not putting out those materials like they're supposed to.
Like I said, if you have new material and it's rap, or even if it's a song and you want us to showcase it on the show, send it to the email address, we'll listen to it. We tell you the process and
rap is not dead. Rap, hip-hop music is the backbone of the Afrobeats we have right now. Even though it sounds like it looks like most of the old rappers are not, they're not as innovative as they used to be, you know what I'm saying? So we need
want to ask, why does David and Wiz, why do they have to beef?
Okay, in my own honest opinion, you know, I think it has something to do with us as Africans. We always want to, we always believe, no, not believe, it is a fact. We don't believe that there can be two people can be on top at the same time. It always has to be one king and the rest of y'all comes below that person.
Yeah, but isn't that our culture?
Yeah.
As Africans, it's always one king.
Yeah, I get it.
So you're saying that mentality cuts across everything.
Yeah, you know, okay. That's what I'm saying. So on the era, in a year whereby a Davido's music bangs, he has number one song. It's number one. You know what I'm saying? And in another year where Wizkid has, or the number one is the number one. You know what I'm saying? The fans, especially these Gen Z people, they don't understand that they can be, both of them can be on top. And
but these guys are not Gen Zs though.
Yeah, they are not Gen Zs.
They are not.
Yeah. And right. also another thing that I think is actually happening is I think we're about to see a new era of
Afrobeat.
Yeah, a new era of guys being on top.
On top.
Like, for example, what Rema said. Let's dive into that.
Mm.
Like what Rema said, there's no big three, it's big four now. Yeah, it's telling.
As a matter of fact, I think it's more than big four, but I'll go with what Rema said.
Okay, yeah. Well, he was trying to be humble with it, to say big four.
Yeah.
That's acknowledging those guys.
But the truth is, he's a new set coming up.
Yeah, he's a new set. Yeah, he's a new era.
I would say Rema. I'll say Arashta. I'll say Thames.
Thames, yeah.
Yeah, I'll say Ashake.
Ashake, okay.
For me, I'll say those are the new big four.
Oh, you say those my are own, the big four.
Yes.
Your own big four.
My own big four.
No,
my
man.
Own big four.
No, man. No, okay. Man. Okay, you want to know my own big four. I'll give you in no particular order. I'll give you Rema, I'll give you Ashake, I'll give you Victoni, and I'll slide Thames in. Yeah. I'll
slide Thames in.
Yeah.
So not Victoni, too bad.
Victoni, that boy. See, because
Victoni big four?
Yeah, man. I'm talking about sound now. The sound. Victoni.
I know one big song that Victoni has. And maybe two.
Yeah, but you know, every
compared
song,
to every other person I just mentioned.
Yeah. No. Are we talking about big four from the angle of how many hits they have? I'm not.
How do you?
It's different. It's different.
How do you quantify it?
Yes. If you're saying we are talking about people who are going to be big four.
No. I'm not saying who are going to be. I'm saying
who are the current.
If power is changing hands now in Afrobeat.
That's
and Rema already claimed, okay, he's no more big three, he's big four, right? Rema doesn't have to put himself in that class of David Bonner and Wiz.
Okay.
I think we should look at the new Big Four.
The new Big Four.
And I'll take him. No. I'll take Thames. I'll take Arista. And I'll take Asake.
Okay, man. You
as
see,
my own Big Four.
See, yeah. The only person on your list that I won't take is Arista.
Why?
Listen to me. You say Arista, and mm-hmm. I say Victoni. If you don't agree with a Victoni, I'll say Omali.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Omali
is fire. Shout out to Omali.
I'm looking at what will continue to hold Afrobeat's pillar, not just how many records we will continue to sell. Because it's been said, and we've had a lot of opinions about people who says the Afrobeats will continue to be relevant, and what we actually really, the kind of music that we actually really hold Afrobeat is this alternative sound.
Hmm.
You know, not the regular.
Didn't Wizkid said recently that he doesn't do Afrobeat?
See, that boy. Yeah.
Hello, Ayo.
That boy. I don't understand. That boy.
Ayo is something else.
That boy.
Said he doesn't do Afrobeat. Don't. But then again, Baba, you know there's something about Nigerians that they like to box you, and I think that is what he's trying to work against.
It's not just
he don't want anybody to box him.
But this is not the time to make those statements. You could have made those statements way before. See, when it comes to music, yeah, Baba, you know how all these fans be now. As an artist, when you're making a type of music in a certain way, when you try to change that style of music, your fans they always want you to do the same type of music. Like for example, I'll give you an example. Asake in his last two albums, right? When Asake released this his most recent song, Only Me, fire. Mm-hmm. When I listen to it, I love it. You know why I love it? That's same Asake on a different sound, not the Amapiano boom boom. You know, but you know, it didn't really. Yeah, it moves, but it didn't really move the way that's the fans reacting to it. When they know you for a style of music, they don't want you to change. Mm. You know, that's the biggest. Yeah, it's always very hard to do.
So speaking of Big Four, mm-hmm. right? Do you have an insight on why Rema actually went in on Mavins?
Well,
did you follow that story?
I followed it, but I didn't understand why.
I think there's something happening in the house.
Don't forget that Rema is not fully signed to Mavins. Rema was signed to The Prince. It was a partnership between Jonesy Ward and Mavins. You understand? Mm-hmm. So technically, the way they presented the arrangement is signed to Jonesy Ward.
But even the going in, he included everybody. You didn't say he included everybody.
I don't forget.
Something going on with that boy.
Yeah. I think there's something going on in Jonesy
Ward.
In
that camp, yeah.
Do you listen to Ruga when
yes.
he said
yes.
he was unhappy, so he had to leave when the contract expired, that they were using monies made from him to promote another artist. It's obvious there's something going on within those circles. So, but for him to come out and get that saying Big Four, yeah, I like that. For me, what that tells me is new era is coming.
No, but if you want to look at it from numbers, from the numbers, mm-hmm. what the data actually shows, mm-hmm. right? He should be number two.
Well,
he should be number two. I think the only one that has more than his numbers is Burna.
Yeah, Burna Boy has numbers. Yeah. Burna Boy has numbers. And don't forget, in the last 2 years, Afrobeats have been declining. Shows has been declining. And people have been talking about it, but nobody's reacting to it. And it is a thing of supply and demand. And I think one of the biggest issues that we're having is because these promoters are complaining that these guys are overpricing themselves.
Yes, I think I saw something by Dotun?
Yeah, Dotun said it. Not, it's not even Dotun that started saying it. People have been saying these things in the last 2 years. You know, that they're pricing.
That these guys are overpricing.
Dotun, D-O-T-U-N posted something, I think it was a year or 2 years ago. Maybe a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Within the last 1 year. He posted something. He said hype men should update their
archives,
their card, their pay card. That these guys, I think it was around December, he said these artists are overpriced and nobody can afford them to bring them to a show. So they will be coming for the hype men. Don't forget hype men, and hype man will do the same job as a DJ. would be there from the beginning of the party and from the beginning of the show to the end of the show. What would the artists do? Artists would just come in maybe 30 minutes, 1 hour,
done.
And they're done. You understand what I'm saying? So he's saying people should update their card because these guys are going to, they're not going to be calling these guys much for sure. So update your card. So it's been happening for a long time.
But do you actually think these guys are overpriced?
Yeah, I don't know how much their rate card are, but when
it is
big,
crazy.
But when crazy. big dogs in the industry like Polo, if a big dog in the industry like Polo could come out and say something like that, you know, this is somebody who has all of them in his pocket when it comes to doing event endorsement. So he knows what he's saying. So when people like that talk, I believe it because I know they know what they're saying. I don't know what those guys are charging currently. I don't know.
Speaking of Polo, Tekno and Kizz Daniel.
Yeah, Tekno and Kizz Daniel.
What's going on?
Well, I don't know. I think Tekno and Kizz Daniel, in my own opinion, they are both egocentric. So I didn't know how they both of them were able to lower their ego. And
I think it was just a fake news.
You think it was a fake news?
Yeah, the whole thing started with a fake news.
Then
I'm saying
Tekno reacted
then,
to it.
Then Tekno reacted, and then Kizz Daniel responded.
You know, right? it was super crazy. First of all, I'll be very honest here. It took me a while to notice Tekno was actually on Buga.
Yeah, me too.
Took me a while, and eventually,
I mean, Kiss would have done that verse smoothly.
Yeah, we have done the song.
It's not going to have any effect.
So even when I got to know that he was on the song, what came to my mind was maybe he wrote.
Who produced though?
It wasn't Tekno.
Are you sure?
Tekno didn't produce the song. So which brings me to the idea of why was Tekno even on that song? So I just thought maybe he wrote. Maybe he wrote or he co-wrote some part of the song. You understand what I'm saying? And don't forget, at the time when Buga came out was at a time where people were looking forward to seeing Tekno back because
it was Blaze Beetle.
Yeah, so
Blaze Beetle, Young Willies, and Reward Beats.
Yeah,
these are the guys that produced it. Oh, shout out to those guys, man.
Shout out to Blaze Beetle.
Yeah, Blaze Beetle.
Another guy.
Yeah,
he's been knocking something. So, and don't forget, like I was saying. So it was around the time where people were waiting to hear something new from Tekno. After we heard about his struggles with his vocals
and all that.
So, when eventually knew it was on that song, everybody loved it. But if you look at it from a very critical angle, technical angle, of would that song still be what that song is without Tekno?
Without Tekno, yes.
Yes, I say
I agree 100%. And at the end of the day, the whole argument was actually about who has money. You don't have money. When they talk of who has money, why are you showing your face?
Yeah,
the money no reach. This,
you know, money is always our bragging rights. And I believe at some point we should just take a step back and just, you know, we can talk about something else apart from just money. Even though Kizz Daniel have been taking shots on people talking about money, I'm most of the song.
What do you mean?
Don't worry about me, worry about you. Like, I get money, I get all those, you know. Artists does that in their songs. And they don't do it. See, Baba, you know this game. They don't do it just because they're writing a song. It's a shot of someone they may not mention. So when somebody talks about money, and another person come to say, like, what Tekno did and say, his money, no reach, da da da. Come on, you've been taking shots at some other people talking about money. It's just money, you know. So you don't have to react that way and say, "Yeah, see the person we are trying to help." Da da da. It's just kind of, you know, it was just too messy. So for two people like that, they're both talented. They're both doing their thing. Kiss is even the one that surprised me the most with the pace he's kept on.
That boy has been on that pace for.
He has never had a bad song
over a decade, and he's been doing it back to back.
Yeah, I'm not a hater.
Come to think of it, speaking of big
that
three,
boy, yeah.
So, initially, I think it's big four, because Kiss is on that class.
Oh wow, you can say.
So it's a new is an old big four, and a new big four is coming up. Let's put it that way, because Kiss has always been part of that big four.
In Nigeria,
yes,
yeah, but when they say big three, big four, that they're not talking about Nigeria. They're talking about worldwide. The only reason why people are saying Burna Boy is number one is because of what he's been able to do in the last 3 years consecutively.
But what do you mean by worldwide, though? I think it's still an Afrobeat class.
Yes, yes. It goes way more than just music. Your tours, you know, endorsement. And
but it's still an Afrobeat class.
Yes, that's yes.
The
yes.
Big Three is still an Afrobeat yes, class. And yes. What I'm saying is, Kiss Daniel is on that spectrum too. He's
yeah,
on
yeah,
that
yeah. class. In Africa, yes.
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 He's on that class. So yeah. So initially, it's not just about David, Wiz, and Burna. I think Kiss is on that class too.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So it's four of them.
Yeah, in Africa, yes.
But there's something about Kiss Daniel, though. He's not outside like the others.
Well, if you ask me,
he's not always outside.
In the last 3 years, Kiss Daniel has one of the biggest songs in Nigeria.
Of course.
The guy is big.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And
global.
I don't even think any of David's recent song touched Buga. That's my opinion. I don't think so. That song is big. The only song that can be on that level when it comes to how big it is Essence. In recently, that's in the last 3-4 years.
Last Last is fire.
But like, don't forget, it has a sample on it. So definitely, come it's an international sample. Ah, come on. What song will you sample Toni Braxton, Not a Man Enough for Me, that won't have the potential of...
No, I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
You know why I would disagree?
You disagree, okay. Yeah.
There are songs that people have sampled
that right? didn't blow up,
and they didn't blow up like that. I think it's just the way Burna handled that song. It was classic.
But
I'm not sure if It Wasn't Man Enough for Me has the same kind of numbers.
Don't go there.
Let's put it this way, right? Let's say the both songs are released now together, which one do you think will make more buzz?
I'll go with my African brother, man.
You're going with African brother, you're going with the fact.
I'll go with my African brother.
You know, so it makes sense. Burna did a wonderful one on that.
Yeah, but Burna Boy is it's phenomenal, man. Burna Boy is phenomenal. So it's phenomenal. Yeah.
Would you rate him?
Burna Boy is number one.
Oh,
out of everybody in Nigeria right now, yes, of course.
Why did you say that?
Yeah, because I don't know about the numbers, because they all put it, all of them. Let's talk about the big three now, big four with Rema. Mm-hmm. All of them has put out a chunk.
Big five with Kiss Daniel.
Yeah, with Kiss Daniel. Everybody mm-hmm. has more than 2-3 big global song in the last 3-4 years. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which put all of them on the same pedestal. But mm-hmm. but Burna Boy has more attributes to it that comes with touring, you know, performance, you know, giving a show, and all of that.
His lyrical ability.
I told one of my guys a year ago that Burna Boy is the only artist that people will go to his show 2-3 times before you can think of getting tired of it, because you know he incorporates a lot of stuff into his live sound. Burna Boy is the one artist that take his sound very seriously, very very seriously, from the days of him performing in France. I remember that first show he did in France. I think it was three years ago he did in France. Yeah, the sound alone, you know. And I've been to all of these guys' shows.
Yeah, I know.
Burna Boy is different. It's different. It's not just, you know.
He's super talented, though.
Yeah,
super
talented. Not just talented. He puts a lot of work into it. Mm. Put a lot of work into it. Because, for example, Burna Boy, Wiz, and Davido can earn, let's say maybe they're paying them the same amount of money for a gig, right? But Burna Boy spends more on his craft than every of them. I went to Whiskey Show with just him, his DJ, and maybe saxophonist and a few other guys. Have you seen how many men band Burna Boy has? He's gonna pay all of them. I don't care how much he makes from that. So he's investing a lot into his sound. So that's what makes it sound very very unique, and that's what's making.
And even the craft, though.
Yeah, yeah, he takes it very seriously.
He's a performer.
He's a performer. He puts all his energy, all he has into giving a show.
Did you see the news about Mayokun and Skibi and one girl like that said they wanted to
I saw it online though, and I don't really get interested in most of those type of stories, but because it involved artists that I know, that
because of my auto,
I pay attention to it. And for me, what was playing out from there is like, is more or less like drugs. Somebody drink what you take, what you're not supposed to take, and
so he's on drugs.
It looks like the babe take what she's not supposed to take.
And she actually posted a drug screening result.
No, you're talking about the aftermath. I'm talking about when she first accused these guys.
Yes, you think he
maybe she sounded like she was high on something. On colos? Yeah, maybe on colos, man. There's a lot of shit is going on in Nigeria. You never know. That's what I thought from the beginning. Even though, come on, she cannot take herself to if somebody did not open the door for her to get to come into Skibby's house, she can force herself in. You know what I'm saying? So there's a gray area in there, but I felt when I first watched that initial video, what I thought was this girl is high. Maybe they gave her something.
But do you know that's not the first girl that would come out and saying Skibby?
For real? Okay. And Daps, the DJ girl too. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Then, so it looks like a pattern.
Yeah. Of course, something is going. Yes. It looks like it. Yes.
But for me though, even if something is going on, I'm not looking at it from a spiritual point.
No, it's not a spiritual point.
I think he's just.
I just want
artist does. Yeah. but probably he the girl reacted to it wrongly.
Yes, maybe.
But. Was she given anything based on was it on her consent? Was she drugged?
What happened to that girl looks like she was hallucinating at the time. See, drugs can react in your body. I'm not a doctor, but I know it can react in your body in a very different way. There is no limit or an end to how it can react in your body.
That reminds me, speaking of drugs, shout out to every marijuana lovers in the US.
420.
I heard the DEA just turned marijuana to Schedule 3 now. So
DEA, in America,
yes.
So if you're caught,
it has dropped now. So it's gone back to Schedule 3. So shout out.
Have they signed into law?
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to DEA. Because we are waiting in Texas to be able to call him. We are waiting.
Yeah, they just reduced it from Schedule 2 to 3. So it's way better now. So a whole lot of people can have access. So shout out to them. Speaking of things that are happening, I think Nigeria is dealing with so much that all this entertainment stuff, right, makes them to forget their problem.
See, Nigeria is an organized crime scene. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a crime scene. Nigeria is a crime scene.
Organized crime scene.
That's the reason why all of us are here. That's really why there's Japa syndrome. Yeah, it's an organized crime scene. So in an organized crime scene, nothing can really surprise you because she will keep going down.
Did you see the story of
a lot of stories?
The Total Filling Station.
The Total Filling Station.
That
they say they must buy meat pie.
Yeah, before you
before
can
they
buy
can buy food. Man. At first, I didn't believe that story, but when I watched the video, I'm like, what is going on? Well, maybe because funny enough, these things do happen even before we left Nigeria.
Yeah.
But we always look at it like it's normal. Now that we know better is where we are not thinking.
Trust me. The woman that was in that video that was saying you have to buy the meat pie before you can buy food.
Maybe she's
she thinks it's normal. I'm telling you, she thinks it is normal.
And I must tell, and I will tell you now, some people, maybe the person in front will be like, no, I'm not buying. The next person will buy.
Buy, yeah.
That's the problem we have as Nigerians. When somebody is trying to fight for something or saying we're supposed to have this, have that, somebody will just come from next and say, if you're not taking it, I'll take it. So we don't. We it's an organized crime scene.
Isn't it weird that people will do things and get away with it, and another person will do it and will get locked up for the same crime?
For the same crime, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. That, like they always say, in an organized crime scene, in Nigeria generally, is who you know. it's, you know, it's always been like that. You know, the rule of law is not being, it doesn't take the order of the day. You know, the same laws that applies to you doesn't apply to some people. You know,
did you follow the Bobrisky story?
Yeah, I followed the Bobrisky story.
Why is that guy in jail?
I don't know, man. It's crazy. I believe at first I believe they were trying to teach a lesson, which doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense to me. You cannot punish him because he's a cross-dresser, because there's no law in Nigeria that says somebody cannot be a cross-dresser. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I think, you know, different laws for different.
Yeah, but they didn't actually hold him for cross-dressing.
Yeah, but
I think everything they said was about money. That he abused.
Yeah, people are saying he didn't get a good lawyer that is supposed to not plead guilty. You know, because it's crazy. It's crazy, man. It's crazy how the Nigerian law system works. Right? They'll say 3 months in jail or pay a fine or get both.
Yeah, but I think they didn't give him the option of fine.
They just sentence him to jail with no, and you know, it's
for
it's
what exactly?
For
is it the same money that people spend every Sunday or every Friday or every Saturday and they stepped on it? And we've seen,
you know,
there's millions of videos out there
you know,
doing the same thing.
Everybody is culpable.
Is that why this
everybody
guy
in Nigeria is culpable for that?
Is that why this guy is in jail?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I think there's more personal thing. You know, Nigeria now, there sometimes some people,
I think they're trying to use him for something else, some moral lessons, which doesn't make sense.
Moral lessons.
Yeah, I think that, man, that I think that's what's going on. I think him being a cross-dresser has a lot to the reason why he's in jail right now. If he doesn't, why is this guy?
But if you want to teach people based on that, then hold him to that. Okay, this is reason why.
The
old reaction is different from, they said it was money, right? And it was jailed because of money
CBN Act. Abuse of Naira. See, you have no idea. You don't know that Nigeria is, like I said, it's an organized crime scene. Nigeria is a country whereby people are in jail and they don't know what they did. So a policeman can just carry you and drop you in kill, and you'll be dead for, and they won't charge you to court. There are a lot of people like that.
Yeah,
it's an organized crime scene, bro.
Yeah.
This is the time where all the human rights activists should step up, but they're not stepping up. Nobody's stepping up for that boy. Nobody's speaking up for that boy right now. Sentiments. You know, nobody, there's one thing I always say. Social media is not real world.
It's not.
You may think some people like you because of what you do, at the end of the day, shit will happen to you.
It's not real anybody. World though. Yeah.
See, very dark man was arrested, and we know of a lot of people who stood up and trying to get him out. They were updating every day as they were proceeding with his, in trying to bail him out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened to Bobrisky. He was charged to court and is in jail and nobody's saying shit.
Yeah, and Cubana chief priest
pleaded
not guilty and is going to court back and forth now.
I just heard they've settled out of court. Yeah, and the FCC. That case is gone. They've redone that case now. It's money, bro. Redone the case now.
But Bob has money now.
Where people are saying, I'm not a lawyer, people are saying the lawyer should have not let him plead guilty.
He shouldn't have. Because, sincerely, if you look at it, I do not see any crime in what he did.
There's a lady that has pled guilty to Naira abuse before now, and they gave her just fine. You've forgotten that lady. There's one lady.
One actress, have you?
I don't think it's an actress.
One sells something.
Naira abuse.
No, I think she went to jail.
She went to judge. They gave her bail. She paid a fine or something.
I can't remember.
Yes, man. So I don't know. There's a way law is in Nigeria.
The judicial system. The judicial system. We all know it's fucked up.
No, we all know it's fucked up. It's an organized crime scene. It's crazy. But before now, I'm not a supporter of what Risky does and all of that. But putting him in jail for that. I was even talking to somebody that he can appeal it. You know what somebody told me? Somebody told me in Nigeria that they've not finished the original case. Before they look at your appeal, the 6 months is already gone. I'm like, wow.
I mean, I think they need to do a lot to that judicial system. We all know that it does not make a lot of sense. A lot of people have just been fucked up for nothing.
I don't get it, but it's a topic that really baffles me, because I don't understand the reason why that guy is in jail. And also, as a first time offender, you know, I don't think you're supposed to get sentenced without a fine, even in America.
Yeah.
First time offender is always a chance for being
they will always give you that leverage that okay, it's first time, it again. Then if you now come back,
so
again,
I want to believe that's the reason why his lawyer,
so there's so many guilty. There's so many, I believe there's some personal things with some people that he couldn't,
and you blame everybody, you blame even people like Bob for this shit, because and you know that laws doesn't really work in Nigeria. So if you want to continue doing what you're doing, come on, you can do it.
I mean, let Bob be Bob.
That's Nigeria. Don't stay with those guys.
I can imagine. Do they actually put him in male prison?
That's what we heard. They say he's in male prison.
But there was a time he was.
First of all, are those things real? Is bomb bomb real? Is it real?
It's real.
Surgery. He did it. Was
the bomb? I think it's real.
Yeah,
and,
for real?
And the breast is real.
For
too.
Real.
But, okay. But I don't think he actually changed his.
I don't know
his gender though.
Because I don't follow that guy. I'm not a fan. So.
But aren't they supposed to actually create his own space for him?
Well,
because he's not a man fully, and he's not a woman fully. He's in between. He's a trans.
Does Nigeria recognize?
Does it make sense to put him in the male prison?
I think they put him in the male prison. My dear, it's the law. Nigeria does not recognize any of that.
Do you know that I know someone
mm-hmm.
in Nigeria?
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a driver, one of my friend's driver.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was talking to him on there, and he told me that his gay experience
mm-hmm. was doing
disverging him.
In prison. Yeah, it happens here too. I've read stories here too. Yeah.
So if you take somebody like Bob and you lock him up in a milk prison, aren't you just exposing him to more dangers?
Harm. Yeah.
More harm.
Don't forget what goes down in prison goes down in prison. You know what I'm saying? And the tendency of it coming out is it may not come out. You know, it's not something I want to think of. But I read online that he claimed to be male. So he's in male cell.
Oof. I feel bad for him.
I feel bad for that guy.
Free Bob, man. Free Bob. Please. Free Bob. Bob did not do anything wrong. He did not commit any crime as far as I'm concerned. Because there's nothing violent. There's nothing criminal. Apart from he spends money somewhere. I don't know. But I mean, I stand with Free Bob. Free Bob movement. We should start that. Hashtag Free Bob.
No, I'm not doing any hashtag for nobody.
I'm putting it in all my tweets from today on.
I'm not doing any hashtag
Free Bob.
Nobody.
Free Bob, please.
I'm looking at the sentiments of sentence. I'm not looking at no hashtag for nobody.
Yes, that's a good segue for me. Then, speaking of sentiments and sentences, I also want us to have a segment on this podcast. If you have any concern or issue that you would need advice on, or you want us to talk about it, you can always send a voice note to this WhatsApp number. This number on WhatsApp.
Okay.
Send a voice note, what you think is going on, whatever you think is going on, so we can listen to it and give our honest opinion. If you know, you don't mind.
We are not professionals.
But we can tell you.
And give you some street oats.
Yes, so send your voicemail mm-hmm. to this number below and mm-hmm. You hear, and it's not just our opinion. You hear other people's that listen to the podcast too. They'll put their opinion in the comment section.
Mm-hmm.
We can
do that. At least we can speak. We can tell people our opinion, our honest mm-hmm. opinion, and our honest advice. Even though we're not professional, we're not therapists. We're mm-hmm. not. You know,
yeah.
At least people
don't listen to us, so because sometimes we are
bad. Everybody's bad. but if you need.
But at least we know plenty things that a lot of people don't know.
He knows a lot
so we can do one or two things. So don't forget, if you have a song you want us to explore, you know, showcase on the podcast, send it in. If you have just concerns, issues that you would like to, you know, you need advice on, send it to the voice note on this number, and we can take it from there. I think this is a good one. This is a good comeback after a long time.
Yeah, man.
But the podcast is back now, so don't worry. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, shout out to everybody,
back
man.
Back. And one more thing. Mm-hmm. Very soon, we are going to be on Patreon fully. and for you to have some more insights, because the version on Patreon is going to be different from what you get on YouTube and on Spotify. But for Patreon, you have to be a subscribed listener, so you have to subscribe to it. So, but when it's ready, we'll let you know. But the team is currently working on it. So very soon, when it's ready, we'll let you guys know. Baba, you get one or two when you want
to
give us.
No. I just want to say shout out to everybody listening to the podcast. Continue listening, stream, you know. And I hope I continue to be a good co-host on this show.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to have fun, you know.
No, you didn't do bad on your first day.
Yeah, man. It was pretty cool. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, your social media handle is Celebrity CEO.
Celebrity CEO, yes. On Instagram. And everywhere.
Celebrity CEO on Twitter. And you know, I'm your boy, Ja Bless Music.
See you on the next one.
You know, see you next one. Bye. Take care. Bye.
Bye. My name is Jobless.